at the end of the day, we gotta talk about shit. If you don't talk about the shit, you won't get through the shit. Thou must cope. Prior to like now, of course, did you have plans to be married one day?
Yeah. I definitely always wanted to be married. Coming from a broken household, I definitely always wanted to be married. You know, I always wanted the kids. So I always wanted to have two parents that loved each other and were in the household together.
So, like, I know, like, for females, we be having, like, this whole timeline in our head. Like, yeah, I want to be married by 25, have my first child at, like, 27. Is it the same way for males? Like, did you have, like, a mind, like, a year or something in your head? Or it was kind of when I find her?
Yeah, kind of when I find her. I wasn't even looking for a relationship when me and my wife started dating. So it was, it just happened, you know. I had been in a couple situations. I had been with a girl that I thought I was going to marry before her. So it was different, you know. It wasn't a timeline, though, not at all. I just everything kind of worked out.
Divine timing. So then.
For sure, whatever you want to call it.
So what are some challenges that you faced? Like, was there anything, like, I know even like growing up, you can know that, okay, like you're saying, you know, I wanted to have a child one day. I wanted to be married. So we have this image of what a marriage will look like. Were there some challenges that you kind of faced now being married that you would have never thought? Or like, it's just like, okay, this ain't really quite how I thought it would go, but now we're here, we have to work through these types of things.
Yes and no, because we did move in together before we got married. So once we got married, not much changed. But that's, I guess, to answer your question, but to give a broader scope and truly answer it. Yeah, man, it's a lot of hurdles that you don't think about, man. It's hurdles that we go through every day. That's just stuff that hasn't aroused before. And we've been together 10 years, you know. How do you handle, you know, a door breaking in the house or something like that? Just little things like that you just never experienced together is hurdles that you deal with. And that's, you know, together and individually.
So from what you're saying to me, it seems like for yourself, you know, you would definitely suggest coexisting first. Would you say that might be a tip?
Absolutely. 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 I fully believe that you should move in with somebody before you get married. I know the old cliche Bible way say we shouldn't shack up, but nah, I definitely feel that you need to know. I mean, there's so many little things that you learn about somebody when you move in together. And for anybody that's going to move in together, let me go ahead and tell you the first 6 months suck. They absolutely suck. It was probably the worst time of our relationship because you're learning to coexist with somebody in your space. And certain things that you don't think about, you have to think about. Like which way did you put the toilet paper or how you arrange the fridge or, in, you know, how you wash clothes. All of those things, you know, play into a part that you never thought about because this is what you do. So, yeah, those first 6 months suck, but I would absolutely recommend it to anybody that's thinking marriage to coexist first.
Dang, that's so crazy because I'm in the point now where for a reason that I'm not going to say, I'm about to go into the coexisting stage. And I believe in it. Like, I'm all for shacking up because of that reason. Like, I just could not imagine getting married to someone and then never have lived with them. Like, staying with somebody for a week of a time is not enough. You know, people will do things just because you're there. It could be something as simple as, like you said, the toilet seat, the tissue, or even like, you know, when you be brushing your teeth, you be leaving toothpaste on the sink, but that shit really irks my nerves, you know, like little ass things like that, or like you said, the fridge. And I'm kind of like, my significant other is like, oh, I'm so nervous or for this. And I'm just like, nah, we gonna be good. But low key, it's just like, this shit gonna be rough. This shit gonna be real rough.
No, it's gonna suck, man. I tell anybody before it happens, like, this is gonna absolutely suck. There's nothing good that's gonna come out of this. So with that, I mean, like I said, there's nothing good that's gonna come out of this. So it's very, very dark. But it's gonna suck, man. The first 6 months, like I said, was the worst time of our relationship because we were trying to figure out things that we just hadn't thought about. Me personally, when I graduated college, I kind of had a, I won't call it a spat, but me and my last roommate, we just didn't agree on some things. And I said I wouldn't live with anybody until it was my wife. So, or until it was a girl. And I stuck true to that. So I think a lot of guys had that same mindset because they were so used to coexisting in like dorms that they want to live by themselves. But as soon as you bring a woman into that space, you know, you're going to say, oh, it's my house, but you still want that woman to have a touch, right? That's just how it is. So I would definitely, again, recommend it. But yeah, it's going to suck, man. And more power to you and your significant other.
And you know, that's a good ass point too, because men live a lot differently than women. Like, rooming with your boys is not the same with rooming with your girl. Like, well, I would think for most women, some women might have not had those same standards, but like, even like,
it's not
the cleanliness. Some niggas, it might not even be, but they dirty, but the clean that I would want it to be and the clean that you considering clean is not the same fucking clean. Like,
right.
And when it be hella niggas living in one spot, it certain shit just go unkept. Shit be dusty as fuck and all types of little ass things. Whereas like with your girl, she not going for that stuff. It's like, let me pick this up, or like, why you ain't do this, da da da. And I was talking with my mom the other day because she was just saying how something she had to adjust to was realizing that she considered it to be kind of just setting her boundary with what she was going to accept as far as like the house being clean with my dad. But she didn't understand that it really just turned into nagging, because it's like, he come home, he been working all day, now you telling me, oh, put the toilet seat down, do this, like you're not my mom. And she was just like, it's not even about being your mom. It's just little things that you could do, you know, that bothers me. And there was like a disconnect there. And she had to understand like, okay, sometimes I need to chill out. Like sometimes I can let it go and I could just do it myself. Don't nobody want to hear that shit all the fucking time. And I'm just like, that's just so tough though, because it'd be the little things that for men, it don't bother them. But for women, it will drive us crazy living in a house like that. And those little things, it don't even have to be no serious shit going on in your relationship, but those little things that happen to live with somebody every day, now you arguing, won't even arguing before, or it's a little animosity, it's tension, I don't want to talk to you, I don't really want to see you because I'm pissed off about that. Like, that shit will really drive you crazy.
Yeah, man. What I would suggest, man, is something that me and my wife do very well, is we actually do communicate those small things. We both always ask each other that, you know, if we're in a place to receive a conversation from each other, which I always think is huge. We always ask each other, you know, do you have the mental capacity to receive, you know, what I have going on, whatever issues I have going on? And if we do, we communicate those little things, because those little things can be triggers. And it's kind of weird because you're like, man, this is a little thing. I really shouldn't be that mad about it. But like, do you invalidate your own feelings? You know, is that fair to yourself? So you run into all those things. So like I said, we try to communicate all of those. We don't really try to bury those things because we don't want to invalidate our own feelings. I mean, even if it is small. And I mean, that does take a lot of work. And we do sometimes have, I won't call them arguments, but pointless disagreements because of that. Yes. But I think overall the communication is way more healthy for the relationship.
I definitely agree. And you know, like you're saying, making sure that person is available to receive what you have. I think that's the part that a lot of people miss the mark on. Like, you know, if I'm coming to you nagging and you're not even in a good mental space, this is not going to go well. Like, point blank, period. And then also just making sure that you can understand, because those small things, they can be small, but it can turn to something big if you just don't say anything for a while. And that's something that I had to realize, that I got that advice to one of my friends. He was just telling me, like, y'all be thinking that y'all should let shit go because it's small, but then what happened when you let that small thing go several times? Now it became bigger than it had to be, when you could have just voiced it and it could have been taken care of. Like, say what y'all mean and mean what y'all say, or either once y'all finally say something, you want to beat around the bush on it. So now we think, you know, it's just this, when really it's bigger than that to you. Like, you really have to express how you're feeling. And, you know, a lot of people really do have a problem communicating. And it's crazy because you would think, like, okay, if it's this person that you've been with for umpteen years, like, you know, that's your best friend, you could talk to them about anything. But then when it comes to a confrontation, a lot of people drop the ball there, and know that communication is gone, or the comprehension side is not there. It doesn't matter if I talk to you 2 hours about something, but you don't understand where I'm coming from, or you're not able to comprehend the extent at which it's bothering me.
And I think that's that comes from the reality, or realizing that you want to work with that partner. I think that's always the mindset that you have to have and understand. It is a work in progress. You know, me and my wife work constantly every day. You know, every day of our life, we work to better our relationship and better our communication. So, you know, I think a lot of people think that it's over. Or it's you know, oh, she's nagging me, or I'm nagging him, and that shouldn't happen. But like I said, I believe it's constant work. So I think you should be open to the nagging, but as long as you're in that mental space, of course.
Dang, I don't know why it just left my mind. Oh, would you say that you and your wife kind of created marriage that works for y'all? Because I see a lot of people, you know, you take advice from your parents, your grandparents and everything, and feel like, oh, this is what marriage is supposed to be. But from what I'm hearing, it kind of seems like you all created what will work for you two as individuals and you two as a union.
Man, absolutely. Absolutely, man. Every marriage, every relationship is different. I will say that. Every time I say something, I'm telling you what works for us. You can try it. If it doesn't work for you, don't do it. But we do what works for us, you know. We do what gender roles work for us. What gender roles don't work for us, we make those work. And we kind of just move from there, man. We do what works for us. I suggest that for everybody. Try to pick up the slack where your partner can't. That's the point of a marriage and a partnership.
I definitely agree. I think that's something that I have to wrap my mind around. Cause like here lately, I be feeling like I don't want to be married. Like it's weird. Cause a lot of women, like, their dream was to get married and have a family. My dream was just to have the child. And I felt like in order to have the child, I needed the family, because I wanted a two-parent household that was as functional as possible. And then it's like, okay, so did I ever really care about the marriage? No. Now I'm getting to the point where it's like, okay, but it be so much going on that I just be like, bro, people be like, oh, you work through it with your partner. And I'm like, yo, I don't know how much work through I have in me. Like, and I feel like if that's the mindset that I have, then I don't need to be taking that jump anytime soon. But I know, like, one thing my therapist told me is, like, you create the framework for what you want. So just because that's other people's marriage don't mean that it have to be yours. And I be having to ask myself, like, well, what does marriage look like for me? What is it that I want? What are my expectations for it? And honestly, I really don't know, because in my life, it's just been really what I've seen fail for the most part, and then what I've seen work, but then come to find out it's too many skeletons in the closet. And so when I try to figure out what it is for me that I would like with my partner, I be kind of stuck on the, yeah, let's just stay on the situationship side, because this just seems to be what's working. And the next step, it's legal, and it's a lot going on with that. And maybe it's just fear. But I know, and I feel like looking at social media, a lot of people are starting to get that mindset.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say, man. Social media, man, is terrible for relationships, man. It's a lot of false information. It's a lot of false misconceptions, you know. Everybody always says, why don't we have marriages that last like our grandparents? And, you know, of course, somebody always has a sassy ass comeback. I'm sorry, I don't know if we can curse on here.
Yeah, you can cuss. You're good.
Somebody always has a sassy ass comeback, like, because they had another family on the other side of town. Well, you know, it's kind of crazy because the divorce rate is down. So the whole argument of the post is dumb as shit to me, because the divorce rate is down. But social media makes it seem like you aren't supposed to have any skeletons. And that's the problem. Nobody's perfect, man.
So all of a sudden, people will become in a marriage, and these people are supposed to be perfect. And that's not the case. And of course, for some odd reason, our society always takes skeletons and relates it to cheating. But there's so much more in a relationship, and there's so much more in a marriage. A financial blunder could be a skeleton. You know, there's so many other things, you know, addiction. There's so many other skeletons that go through marriage that, you know, have people working through addiction. If you have your husband in rehab and certain things like that, that's a fucking skeleton, man. And again, I think people always equate it down to cheating, and that puts marriage in a bubble. There's so many other things that could go wrong. And I know this doesn't sound like I'm encouraging marriage, but I am. To realize that all these things could go wrong any other time too. So don't get caught up on skeletons, because everybody has them, and it doesn't stop when you get married. I think that's what I was trying to say. May have lost track in this. I apologize.
No. You definitely hit the nail. And I have said that multiple times. Like, it bothers me that everybody always equate, like, with the cheating thing, when they talk about the skeletons, with marriage, it's always cheating. And I'm like, y'all, like, not trying to say that cheating is okay, but there's so many more things that are worse to me than cheating. Like, you could be sleeping with a fucking serial killer and don't even know that's the shit that he get off with on the low, where years ago he had, I don't know, some rape cases that he got expunged and anything like that. Or like financially, like, we're going into this now, you done got me going bankrupt. Like, a lot of things that really are like, this is a real serious fucking issue. Or like you're saying, addiction. Like, an addiction, that can be a very long issue as well. And I feel like nobody really talks about those things. But like you're also saying, on the flip side, you're gonna go through them regardless. Like, married or not, if you have a boyfriend, you have a girlfriend, whatever you choose to use your title as, you're still gonna go through these things, because people are always changing. You're changing, they're changing, you know, they're healing from things, they're learning different things. So you're always going to come up against something. Like, that's a part of life, trials and tribulations. But people have unfortunately just kind of put it with marriage and made it seem like, oh, hell no, I can't do it. But I also feel like in this generation, I've noticed that I think people jump into getting married too quick sometimes too. And, you know, you never fully know a person, but I think that can be a thing too. Skipping that stage of getting to know who you're talking to. And now it's like, okay, we're not equipped. Like, we get in a divorce within the first 2 months. I don't really think that should ever be a thing, because to me, that seems like something was missed in the dating stage. And now y'all done jumped here, and what the hell?
I think the biggest thing when talking to a partner is finding out their moral base. How that person is morally, that's going to be their baseline. I am a completely different person than I was when me and my wife started dating in 2012. I am a completely different person. Completely. But my base morals stay the same. And I would say I met you in maybe 2015. I'm a completely different person from when I met you. You grow, you change as people. But that moral background still stays the same. So I think that is what you have to find out with somebody. So I do think that I don't want to put a time limit and say people are doing it too quick, but I don't think people are asking the right question.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a better way to put it. People aren't asking the right questions. People keeping it as like, oh, what you like to eat? Okay, and not really get into the nitty gritty. And I'm glad you brought that up, because you are also a parent. And I feel like that's a question that people need to be asking. Like, parenting, although I'm not a parent, parenting is something that's really, really hard. Well, easy to disagree on. People's upbringings,
man.
Like, and you don't know till now the child is here, and we over here like, well, nah, this is kind of what I was thinking, or this is what I was thinking. And then it was like, how do we compromise?
And that's kind of the thing, man. It is a compromise, man. And understanding and knowing it's a compromise. And that's one big thing I do suggest everybody have a conversation before they get married. Just kind of talk about your upbringing, in your every day as a kid, because whether you realize that or not, or I didn't realize that, I can't speak for everybody. You kind of want your child's day to look like yours when you were a kid. Not necessarily, you know, if you have poverty, if you're rich, wherever you're at on that spectrum, I don't really care. But this is how they ate a meal. This is what you did during playtime. You kind of want your childhood, their childhood, to look like yours. So there were certain things that I had to get used to. My wife's family sits down for dinner. I didn't do that growing up. So it was something that was very odd to me. Like, what do you mean we're going to sit down as a family and eat dinner? But this is what we do with our child. And it's something that I was like, okay, you know, I could try it. It is that compromise. It's not something that's big to me. But those type of things are going to happen. So I suggest everybody have a conversation about how their day was as a child.
And, you know, that's crazy, too, because I grew up in a family where we went from not sitting down and eating dinner together to randomly, I don't know what happened. My parents probably had a discussion and something took place, but randomly it was decided that from now on we were going to sit and eat dinner together. And that shit was hard as fuck for me to adjust to, because I'm like, why am I sitting eating dinner with y'all? Like, I just want to go to my room, eat my food in peace. Like, what are we supposed to talk about? This is so strange. Now people trying to wait for the other person to finish eating. Like, it was a lot for me, but it is like such a small thing. But when somebody brings that up, it can really kind of have you like, for what? Like, why? It's not worth arguing over. It's not worth being like, hell nah, I don't want to do that, because there's no harm from it. But if it's not something you were used to, then you wouldn't see that importance, and it wouldn't be something that you would think would come up.
And I mean, there's so many little things that happens with, my wife's family are huggers. They hug when they see each other. They hug when they leave. You know, it was something that I wasn't used to. So little things like that, like you said, it doesn't hurt me, it doesn't harm me, but I'm just like, eh, I mean, nigga, why you gotta touch me? You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's okay. You know, you get those things, and it's something that now I hug my son, you know, when I see him and when I leave. It was something that I wasn't used to growing up to, that I want to pass down to the next generation. So being open to that is important too.
Definitely. And that's crazy, because my dad and his family, they told each other, I love you. My mom, it wasn't like that. So when it came to us, my dad always told us, I love you. And just made sure, like, he'll randomly come in the room, you know, I love you, right? My mom didn't do it. She did it with him, though, because it was something that he introduced to the relationship, but she didn't do it with us. And we were just having a conversation with her the other day, like, you know, it's so weird because you kind of, I'm not going to say she set us up, but you made us a little unavailable when it came to other people that weren't immediate family loving us. Because when I got to college, my friends was trying to say, like, I love you and shit. Like, I love you so much, girl. And I was like, why do y'all keep saying that? Like, that's strange to me. I'm not your boyfriend. Da 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 da. But it was because my mom didn't do that. And so I was telling her, like, now I realize it's not even that deep. Like, I can love my friends, and these are things I should tell my friends, because if something was to happen to them, I would want them to know that. But I was so used to you not saying it. Literally, my mom would only tell me she loved me if she was taking a trip and it was like, okay, I might not see you again. So she went to the Bahamas, any of that, she would be like, I love you. But besides that, she never told me. And it affected me, because I remember, like, saying, I really don't know if my mama really loved me or not. But I didn't think anything of it. And that's something that I would have passed down to my child. And now I know, like, hell no, I want my child to know that I fucking love them. Like, I'm gonna keep saying that shit. And it doesn't hurt you. It's just not something you're used to. And, you know, like you're saying, being open to that change is important, because now I look at it and I'm like, you know, this is a good change. So I'm glad that I was introduced to this.
Right. That's the biggest thing, man. Being receptive to being introduced to things. Not everything you did is right. Even if you are successful, even if you are in a good place, everything you did isn't necessarily right or correct or the best way. So be receptive to that type of stuff, man.
And so to close up the marriage side, if you have any, did you have any misconceptions of marriage in general, or being like young and married?
Um, Yes and no. I definitely, I'm not gonna say I had the fear, but you know, people always say his wives were very demanding and very, you know, controlling. And, you know, my wife is the complete opposite. So, you know, and she was before we got married, you know what I'm saying? She was never controlling. We never controlled each other or anything like that. If you want to go ahead or whatever, it's cool. I was scared that was going to change a little bit, but that wasn't because of anything that she presented. I was just nervous because, you know, I heard it my whole life. That's it. That's the only misconception, man. You know your partner, man. That's, you know, I think that's the biggest thing, man. And, you know, kind of go through, you know, I want to recant my statement earlier. Let's not put a timeline on it. Like, you got to go through some things, I think, man. You know, I always knew I wanted to marry my wife, but I got into a head-on car accident maybe about 5 years ago. And I was fine, but I like broke my wrist and lost a tooth, whatever. But I wasn't trying to go to the hospital. And she forced me to go to the hospital. And, you know, as I was going through and I was getting the thing and I found out I had a broken wrist, because I didn't know I had a broken wrist at the time, I was like, damn, you know, she really made me come here because she wants the best for me no matter what. You know what I'm saying? So me going through that, like, I was like, oh, yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, this is who I'm marrying.
I love that. And that's so crazy because my dad was telling me, he was like, a lot of men won't admit it, but he said, typically your wife or that person for you, they really gonna make you the better you. And he was like, and mature you in a lot of ways. And he was like, you know, they might not say it and they might not be receptive to a lot of things, but typically that woman that's for you, she only wants the best for you. And when you learn to accept that, your life will be a lot smoother. And I was just like, he was like, but if they young, it's not going to matter. Like, you can't force nobody to, you know, want that or whatever. And so to move and transition to the business side, my question for you, because I already know that you do this. Why do you mix business and friends?
I think having a clear-cut relationship it is important, but I like to work with my friends because I like to enjoy what I do. And I put people in places that they'll enjoy what they do as well. And then, you know, like you say, it's not work when you're having fun, man. Like, you know, we have a great time, man. They're like my family, you know, honestly.
Have you had to ever, like, fire any friends? Or, like, before it was able to get to the point where it's, like, you know, it's really family and it's also really business, did you have any mishaps to teach you how to handle those friends? Because I know a lot of people talk about that. Like,
Yeah. I had a lot. I've had a couple of mishaps, bro. You know, some people that I don't speak to. Just certain things, just not growing and not having the structure as a businessman. Of course, I started off doing parties in high school. So I didn't necessarily have the greatest structure in place. You know, I knew you invest this amount of money and then you get this amount of money out after you sell tickets. Simple enough. But the all-around structure of a business, I did not have. So I have had to fire some people. I've had some people leave on their own terms. But each of them are a great learning experience. I mean, you know, you get hired by Full Circle USA, you get a handbook with policy, guidelines, rules, and regulations now. So, you know, people can't say wrongly fire them or anything like that.
Uh-huh. And going through those things is what helped you to know, like, okay, this is something I need to have in place. Having these policies, because I think that's where a lot of people miss the mark. They see friend and it's like, oh, okay, they got the same vision as me. Oh, we good. We just da-da-da-da. But it's like, no, when it comes to the business side, until we're working and everything, I have to treat you like you are an employee. So you can understand,
I mean,
this is the agreement.
Yeah, everybody's contracted. I mean, everybody's contracted. Everybody. Yeah, that's including me. For most people that don't know, my wife is the CEO of the business. Now, so I even signed a contract. So everybody has a contract. So, you know, there's business and there's pleasure, but everybody has a contract.
That's something that I'm definitely diving into. It's a little different because I have a freaking podcast or whatever. And one thing that I had to learn, and I was having a conversation with a mutual friend of ours, is like a lot of people feel like, oh, for certain things, I don't need a contract. But you really always need a contract. Business-wise, to cover your ass, make sure anything happens.
Hey, you just did a great impression of him, too. I didn't know who you were talking about until you did the impression, and that was great. I know exactly who you're talking about.
I'm dead. Please, chill. Please, but oh, no, like, man. I was just saying, like, you really and truly always need a contract. That was something that I had to learn, like, to cover your ass for anything so there isn't any misunderstandings. And then also, like, something that I really had to take into consideration too, it can be the most simplest agreement, but there can be so many misunderstandings in that. And if I have somebody sign a contract, they're gonna read that motherfucker. They want to know what they signing.
Well, see, man, and it is hard. It is hard to sometimes it does get hard, man. And sometimes, you know, I understand it, but at the same time, it's hard, man. Like a mutual friend you were just talking about, he did some work for me and my family, and you know, he sent me a contract. Oh, man, get the fuck out of my face, bro. Like, here, whatever the deposit is, here it is. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I was wrong for that. You know what I'm saying? But it was hard. I mean, this is 3-4 years ago. It was hard for me to even separate. Like, nigga, come on, bro. Like, nigga, you know I'm going to pay you, bro. Like, nigga, how much money have I paid you before? So it was hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man. I see where people fuck up at, man. It was still hard, but. Nah, at this point, everybody has contracts.
It sucks, though, because, for instance, you're able to understand because of your business situation. But for the person that is not business-oriented, doesn't have a business or anything like that, it's going to forever be like a, man, I got you. And it's like, it's deeper than that, bro. Like, it's really deeper than that. Yeah. It's business.
Yeah, it's business, man. And if people don't understand business, then you got to, you know.
Then you got to move on without them, man. And that's kind of the unfortunate thing, man. I've had some people that used to work for me that I thought were great. You know what I'm saying? I thought that they were going to be great in my industry. And, you know, they couldn't understand it was business. They couldn't understand that, you know, I am your friend. I am your friend. I love you dearly as my friend. I love you as my friend. But when it comes to business, business is business. You know, and I think you just got to move on without those people, unfortunately.
That's really what it comes down to. And that's definitely the point that I've had to realize. And it doesn't bother me now or whatever. Like, it is what it is, because you have to do what's best for you and your business at the end of the day. But the other side is, I feel like for me, that sometimes I get kind of like it in is people respecting your time. Like, and it could be for anything, just realizing, like, time is money. Like, I'm not in an industry where it's like I'm actively, at this point, getting money. Like, I'm paying people to record. They're paying me to get up here and everything. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, like, at what point anyone is in their journey. Like, you should take their stuff seriously or respect what they have in place. Like, you can't come into anybody's establishment and just want to run it your way. It doesn't work like that. It's not your establishment. And that's the problem that I'm having now, which is why I'm kind of steering away from the, I'm not going to say doing business with friends, but just being a little more picky with who I allow. Because the other thing is, you know, to an extent, when you work with these people also represent your brand. So you have to be cautious of what you're doing, because in a way you are also a representation of me. So I can't just be allowing, you know, any old stuff. Like, for my podcast, it's not like, okay, if you're a stripper, I'm not going to have you up here because you strip, because none of that shit matters. But certain things, just how you conduct your business does make a difference for me. Or if I know certain things that I don't agree with personally, I don't want that on my brand, you know? And people have to understand that.
Man, look, man, especially in my business, man, I have so many people that, you know, want to do stuff, or look, man, I want to be a promoter, or I want to, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to DJ, and I'm like, look, man, like, I'm sorry, you just don't align with my brand, and people will fall out with you behind that, when it's, you know, they feel like you're choosing business over the friendship, but sometimes you have to. This is how I feed my family, but I think everybody's goal is to make money off of this. So if you're messing with my flow of money, why would I do business with you? As my friend, you should understand that.
And people don't have that understanding, and it sucks, but it's just the reality of what it is. And it's just like, you know, when you're on the business side, like you're saying, you were able to understand from that friend. Now that you think about it, it's like, okay, I was in the wrong. You know, you can even see, like, as a friend, like, okay, there's a certain respect level I should have for how you conduct your business and everything. But people really don't be having that same, like, mind sometimes. And so now it's just like, okay, we've fallen all over this. And it's just like, sometimes it just have to be what it is, because I got to protect me at all costs, and I would like you to do the same. So if what we're doing doesn't align, you know, I'm sorry, I'll put you on to somebody else. I'll definitely speak of you if it comes to a connect. But for us together, it's just not going to work. Like, it's business at the end of the day. And I think a lot of people have a problem with that, especially when it comes to friendship, understanding, like, it's just business. Like, it's not personal. It's nothing personal. Like, personally, I still rock with you.
I think it all goes into the level of people respecting your business, man. You know, and like I said, I've been doing parties forever, man. And it took a while for people to understand that they got to buy a ticket.
You
know, it took people a while to understand that. You know what I'm saying? Even at the Liz, like, I've been doing parties for 10 years. You know what I'm saying? I had a situation where I had to leave one of my line brothers outside because he didn't get a ticket. Like, bro, it's business, bro. You know, so, you know, it's in, at that point in time, he didn't respect my business. So you have to make sure these people respect your business, man. That's the only way that they will respect your business, man, and respect your lines and your contracts and everything else.
Yep. That's really what it boils down to. And that's definitely where I'm getting, where it's just like, okay, you know, if someone's not respecting it, you leave me no choice but to make you respect it. And by letting you disrespect it, I'm also disrespecting myself. So, like, if you were to be like, all right, I'm going to let you in. Now, that's the thing. Every time he pull up, he like, okay, he got me. I'm going to let you in. And it's like, bruh. Like.
That's real. Super real.
And it is so crazy, too, because I definitely feel like partially it's just a thing in our community. Like.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Well, nah, for sure. I tried to give us the benefit of the doubt, but nah, for sure, man. And I mean, it just takes time, man. You know, I don't have anybody hit me up to get in for anymore. It only took 15 years, but you know, it didn't happen anymore. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, it takes time, man. You know, people ask my damn wife before they ask me,
and she can give the same response. So it's like, you tried it.
Absolutely, she worse than me. She the mean one. Everybody confused.
That's typically how it be, though. And she seems so sweet. Like, I don't know her personally, but you know, like, she definitely seems like she would be about her business. Or if it came down to it, she gonna be stern on what it need to be.
I tell people all the time, she's a CEO for a reason, man. You know, people just, I wouldn't put, you know, the baby that me and the other co-founder, you know, my fraternity brother is a co-founder of Full Circle. Me and him voted to put it in my wife's, you know what I'm saying, make her the CEO solely. So, you know, that's an attest to my wife, man. You know, again, she's the mean one and she's about her business. So if two people that started something decided to give somebody else, you got to respect their business.
No, definitely. And I think that's a good pointer for some people too, because I've seen people where it's like your business could really flourish, but you need to step down and allow somebody else to do this so it can be done correctly. You still can, like you're saying, I'm still the co-founder, I'm still this or whatever, but let me let someone that can do this more efficiently than me take over. And a lot of people get so caught up on the titles that they won't do that.
Yeah, man.
But you only harm yourself and stop your growth when you're doing things like that. Like, people that have terrible ass customer service, hire somebody. Like, hire somebody to take care of that for you, because you are, one, when you're selling things, you're definitely only as good as your customer service is concerned, for real. So if you got shitty ass customer service, it's not gonna matter if the quality of your product is wonderful. If shit, it's taking 2 months to get to me, or if this is sitting wrong, you're not responding. Oh, like all of that shit. I don't think a lot of people take into account those things. And people try to cut corners when at the end of the day, when it comes to any businesses, we all have our strong suits and we also have our weaknesses. If you're weak in that area, allow somebody that's strong to do it. It will only excel your business. Oh,
either that or fake the funk. One of the two.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just being real. Like, you know, I mean, I'm in a situation like, you know, I'm going to say it and then you're going to think about it and you're going to be like, damn. But like, I don't like going out. I don't like going to parties. I am a homebody.
Oh wow!
The only time that you see me out, bro, is when I'm doing an event. Mm-hmm. I may step out to a couple of my homeboys that I started with, like if they have a big event. But outside of that, the only time you see me on the scene, I'm not at random homecomings. If I'm not making money, I'm not there. That's work for me, you know. So, but I have to fake the funk when I'm out. I mean, I can't just be sitting out there mad all the time. I do have a good time, absolutely, but nah, I would much rather sit in the house and play the game, man.
That's so crazy because that is very true. Like you're definitely not an on the scene person. If you're on the scene, it is because you're working. Like, and nobody would ever know because like going to one of your functions, you're gonna see you're interacting and having fun or whatever. And so you wouldn't think like, oh, this nigga really actually love to be home with his family, with the gang, whatever the hell, just you know, having a good time the whole time. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. You gotta take the pump sometimes. Sorry, I'm rolling up. My apologies. I should have beaten myself. I'm not rolling up. I use cones, man. You know, the new one's coming in, man. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited for you. I saw that.
I'm so excited.
It's so on brand.
Yeah, man. You know, I used to be very, very scared to divulge the fact that I smoked. I used to be very, very afraid of it. Because, you know, we grew up in a society where don't tell people that, blah, 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 blah. Like, nah, nigga, I smoke, bro. And I'm still successful. And you cannot put my full name on this because of my job. But, you know, I'm still successful, man. And I can do what I can do, man. I can still do what I can do while smoking, man. It's just so taboo in today's society. It's insane.
And I definitely want you to continue to push that. I was having a conversation with a friend the other day and how I do believe the narrative is changing and it's not that bad anymore. So people are more kind of like, oh, whatever. But that's definitely the case. And like my mother, oh my gosh, she is definitely one of those that's stuck in the old ways. Like, oh, smoking weed. She act like it's crack. Like she act like it's heroin and meth. Like, and it just be like, what? And she'd be like, oh, yeah, because they smoke. I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, and it's one of those things where, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some people that may smoke their weed and they may not do things correctly or they might have a habit to the point that they're not making good decisions. But for the average person, it's like, why does it matter what you're doing in your personal life? If you're not coming on the job doing these things and everything or whatever you may have it, you're conducting business, why does it matter? Why is it anyone's concern?
Bro, right. If that I'm 100% on that, man. If you're handling your responsibilities, bro, I don't care what you do. I don't care if you goddamn do crack, cocaine. I don't give a fuck, bro. Whatever you do in your free time is what you do on your free time, bro. As long as shit's getting done and you're not inconveniencing me, I do not care, bro.
People just don't know how to mind their business. Realistically, that's what it boils down to. Like,
yeah,
all on people's social media trying to take a look at what they doing in their free time, and they the best worker. Like, I have seen that shit happen. And I'm just like, what? Like, and I'm glad that we're getting to the point where it doesn't matter, because, like, I have a friend where she smokes, and she pretty much hides it because of her fear that if anybody was to find out, she wasn't be able to work and stuff. And she was just, like, at her new job. Like, she found out a lot of her coworkers smoke, and she was just like, oh my gosh, like, y'all smoke? Like, dang, that's crazy. And I was just like, why is it something you need to have? I'm not trying to say you need to walk around like, yeah, I be smoking, because it's not one of those things either. But why does it matter? What is the concern?
Well, you know, I You know, and I probably shouldn't be divulging this, but whatever. or just play the smart game, man. Like, I have two accounts of everything. I have two Facebooks. I have two Twitters. I have two Instagrams. I mean, I legit have a burner account and then built a business off my burner account. LG Burner is my burner account. Like, you know, you could do all of this stuff, man, and just be a hype, man. You know, until it becomes legal, wherever you're at, you know, just fucking be smart, man. Mm-hmm. You can take the extra effort if you want to talk about it.
Nah, that's true. That definitely is the case. I actually have to, shit, at this point, I have more than two, but I have two accounts on everything too, to separate that. And because I noticed, like, too, like, on a lot of applications now, they be asking for your social media. You'd be like, excuse me? Yeah. But don't worry about it. I'm finna give you one.
I'm finna give you one so you won't look. Here you go. Yep.
It got a graduation picture, my achievements, and the professional side of me.
I think I'd be in Bible study.
For sure.
Just left Bible study, bro. You know, every Wednesday, faithful.
That's the only version of me that you know. And whatever else is on my personal, that ain't got nothing to do with you.
But it's so crazy though, because I'm still doing the same job.
Regardless.
That I'm doing. Regardless, bro. Regardless, you know what I'm saying? You know, I've been with who I've been with for almost 2 years now. I'm doing remarkable. You know what I'm saying? It's insane. It's insane.
It really doesn't matter, really and truly. And to wrap up, I did just want to ask, did you have any tips, words of advice, or anything that you would like to say to the audience, if any?
No, I don't. I thought about it and I was like, man, that is an intense ass question, bro. I don't know
what to give him advice on, man. I
always be like, why the fuck would somebody want to listen to my advice? You know, that's why it was hard for me to do this. I'm like, why the fuck would somebody want to listen to me on a podcast? Like,
then you put it up and people over here with suggestions.
No, fucking be bored on social media too.
That is true. But I mean, sometimes it's just because...
I mean, I don't talk about nothing about grilling food and fucking 90s cartoons anyway.
And see, that be the thing. You do stuff like that and people be like, dang, I'm kind of interested to know a little more about his personal life. people buy tickets from you all the time, you know, go to your parties and be like, dang, I see that he have a wife and they work together. Like, that's amazing. I want to know a little more about that. But niggas can't get that shit. So then niggas is like, shoot, he did a little podcast. Let me see what he talking about because I'm interested. On the contrary, people really be low-key invested in regular, not to say that celebrities aren't regular, but your regular everyday local people just as much as they be invested in the celebrities. You just would never know.
Man, I guess that's true, bro. That's true.
You just don't know.
I be wanting to see motherfuckers do good all the time. Yeah, I be wanting motherfuckers to do good all the time. So I be checking on niggas, man. You know me, I've been real, real positive lately.
Thanks for listening to my Ghetto Talk Therapy. Let me just say, the math ain't mathin'. How I got 1,000 listeners, majority of which listen on Apple Podcasts, and less than 50 reviews. Y'all ain't loyal? Nah, but for real, go rate my podcast and leave a review. It truly keeps me going.